Over a year ago, while in Fairview, Oregon, while attending convention at the BSRC in June of 2023, after the day of convention where a small group met in Sister Donna Burke's apartment, while in conversation and fellowship, something was said about in his name. This piqued my interest, planting seeds in my mind and heart. The focus was on the thought and idea of all that we do in his name. This, of course, was not a new thought, but the direction in our lives and how we should represent our dear Heavenly Father and his precious Son, Jesus Christ, came to the forefront of our minds. From that point on, with the help of my dear wife, Janet, and others, we began collecting various scriptures and devotional comments that we read for possible future use, perhaps in a discourse, to share with our brethren. And so here we are today. We hope these thoughts, hymns, ideas, and comments will bless you. May they further direct your daily steps. Perhaps they will enrich your lives and help to impress the awesome responsibility and opportunity of being an adopted son or daughter of God, and to increase the purpose in our consecrated lives, doing everything in his name. Part of our goal today is to focus on not only the importance and responsibility of representing our sovereign God, but the joy when we realize the fullness it can bring to our lives in doing so, and more fully realizing the incredible relationship of our Father and his dear Son, Christ Jesus. For the Father has love for the Son and lets him see everything which he does. John 5:20, Bible in Basic English. Jesus answered them, the Pharisees who were unbelievers, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John 10:25. And again in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you have eternal life. It's noted that the word name in the King James Version is used many times. We couldn't get an exact number, but it's somewhere between 500 and 800 plus total. One source indicated 928. Where that came from, I don't know. That's Google. Making its use significant. As we researched various scriptures and thoughts on name, our initial goal was stressing what should be the desire of our heart, to honor our sovereign God's name. But in doing so, many scriptures also indicated how crucial it is to honor God's Son's name, and thereby doing things in his, Jesus' name. After all, we have access every hour of each day to our Heavenly Father through his Son. And while we always show supreme honor to our Father, we nonetheless also respect highly the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is righteous in everything he did. In 1 Peter 2:22, we read, Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And that's why we honor him as well. In Romans 5:18, we read, Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In Strong's, the definition of name in the Old Testament is 8034, a primary word through the idea of definite and conspicuous position by implicating honor, authority, character. New Testament 3686, which seems to denote character, which connects it to the Old Testament definition and connect scriptures as appropriate. And I've sent this ahead of time to Brother Rafal, so he's worked it up for me. He's practiced it. It's a hymn that we're not used to. We're not singing it now. I'm just sort of introducing that, but that's what it's going to look like. So he's done all the footwork on this. So from Psalm 61:8, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows. So we had just read the precious name of Jesus, and I'm going to read the first stanza ahead again. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. And a comment on that, Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're going to sing a hymn later, which I just said, based on this scripture. As footstep followers of Jesus and sons of our Heavenly Father in all the things we do, all the places we go, all the contacts we have with others, in all of these things, we are representatives of the heavenly administration. Such a responsibility carries great weight, with numerous chances not only for success, but also something less than success. That's why we are to lean so heavily upon our Father's shoulder, daily sharing heartfelt concerns with him through his dear and precious Son. In Ephesians 3, verse 11 and 12, we read, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." And the second stanza, "Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name and prayer." From Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, we read, and these are all connected to the stanza that I've read, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." And I picked this up from Brother Russell's comments, but I'm not going to read the reprint numbers. "Those who now in the tomb, but yet to be raised to learn the truth as it is in Jesus." That was on verse 10. Verse 11, "And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Some of our brethren are more able to witness to God's great love, perhaps than others, to make daily use of God's protections in their lives, to utilize all that's promised to the followers in Jesus' fellowship and the strengthening provided by our sovereign God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation all make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And I know that these are all scriptures that we're familiar with, but I just looked them up in connection with the hymn that we sang. In the third stanza, "Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy, when his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ." In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, New American Standard, we read, "And what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Further in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, we read, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." In the fourth stanza, "At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings, soon all shall hail him when his victory is complete." And a quote from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 11, New American Standard. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God." We hope to bow before our Heavenly Father at his throne of grace every day. And then finally, from that first hymn, the chorus, "Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." Our Lord, How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And that was from Psalms 8 and various scriptures. And then again, other scriptures. How earnestly we pray and yearn for the kingdom when all of humanity will have the opportunity to look up with clarity to the heavens, praising an awesome creator that made these great things of such unparalleled beauty. To acknowledge him, to thank him and praise him, to finally see him as the one true God, John 17:3, that has no other gods before him, in Exodus 20:3. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, NIV, we read, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Again, with my wife Janet's pointing out to me in Cruden's concordance, the word name is used variously, such as his name, my name, and thy name, many other ways, I'm sure. In our private studies, we have noticed how there is at times a lack of an identifier to assure the reader of who is being talked about, that is God or his son Jesus. This, of course, lends itself, or can, to the lie of the Trinity, which we're all aware of. In Psalm 23:3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This, of course, speaks of the one and only sovereign God. But it can speak of Jesus, too. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, for it is great. This phrase emphasizes the importance of God's reputation and character. In the hymn context, a name is not merely an identifier, but a representation of one's essence and reputation. The following is from Christian Bible Resources, Brother Russell, on Psalm 23:3. Justified me to life. He brings me back to himself. That's from Restoreth My Soul. I'll give the breakdown first. And in the paths, the path marked out by the word of the Lord, as one of meekness, faith, patience, love, etc. Of righteousness, suitable for spiritual development. All his ways are perfect. And for his name's sake, because we are his and because we trust in his name, in his merit. Because I am his child, I bear his name. His promise is involved. His honor is at stake. Again, that was reprint articles from Brother Russell, various numbers. And a quotation that I found, here's the point. God does what he does for his sake, not ours. We often want to know and do God's will. We want forgiveness and deliverance from sin and life on this planet for our sake. Why? Because we think if we have all of those things, it will make us happy, cause us to be blessed, give us provision. God says, I want to give you these things, not for your sake, but for my sake. In other words, in my name. We exist as God's people, alive and thriving, to embody his name. When God acts for his name's sake, he is acting in accordance with his revealed character and to uphold the honor of his revelation, which has been staked upon his people. And further, God's reputation is at stake by the way his followers live. We are his hands and feet in the world. We are his ambassadors. We represent God to a watching world. When we fail to live righteously, we are hurt, but the name of God is hurt more. When we fail to take God's lead, we are damaged, but the reputation of God is damaged more so. And that was the end of that quote. I thought that that was pretty interesting. And another quote. And it's from a selected source. When we understand the relationship we have with God, then we look to him in a different light. We see him through his name, that benefit, and he provides for us. We look to him as He in whom we trust, he that calls us, he that speaks, he that is mighty and true, and he that gives strength unto his people. Knowing him and his name, we know that the special bond we have with him, a bond that sheep have with their shepherd. The shepherd protects and cares and calls his sheep by name. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're to know God's name, and by the same token, the God of the universe knows each of us by his name. We are his. Janet rescued a little book from a convention book table, and it's called The Pearl of Psalms. So we took a quote out of that. God has connected his name and glory with the walk and conduct of his people on earth. And the solemn obligation is laid upon everyone that nameth the name of Christ to depart from iniquity, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nor is our testimony to be merely a negative one. There must be not only abstinence from every evil, from every form of evil, but the positive setting forth by life and by lip, in speech and in action, of the fragrance of that name which is as ointment poured forth. Song of Psalms 1:3. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. And from Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10, it has been decreed that in a coming day every knee shall bow to that name. Excuse me. Happy are they who, constrained by his love, bow to and acknowledge it now, for by yielding themselves to him before humanity in general, when the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of our Heavenly Father and of Christ. As a church class in advance of much of humanity, we have been blessed in knowing and understanding numerous truths in the Bible, and thus we have already bowed the knee. What a blessed privilege and empowering responsibility to set ourselves high standards, making use of the talents he has given us. We do this as sons of God. We read in John 1:12, Young's literal translation, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave authority to become sons of God, to those believing in his name. Jesus Christ, in his name, there is prayer, forgiveness of sins, faith, there are miracles performed, immersions, there is salvation, there is life, there is confession, and preaching, because we are made able ministers, 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not based on what is written, but on the Spirit, because what is written kills, but the Spirit gives life. In Psalms 99, verse 3, New American Standard, we read, let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. And further in Psalms 66, 2, NIV, sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. And once more in Colossians 3, 17, we read, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And now we're going to sing that song, Brother Ruffle. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. This will be the first time I hear this all the way through. Thanks, Brother Rafal. That wasn't bad, considering we'd never heard it before. Actually, I'd say that was very good. A little side note of interest is the word Shem, which can mean name, fame, and conscious knowledge of the whole creation. A little side study, which I had in here before I took it out because it was too much of a push, is the connection to Yad Vashem. But it's not the same word. I realized that in time. In a search, we type below, and from its source is the following from Abarim Publications. The name Shem means name, fame, or reputation, or even identity or personality. But here at Abarim Publications, we're pretty sure that Shem wasn't named after his own fame or prowess, but rather after the name of the Creator, which in turn reflected all of his deeds, which in turn comes down to the whole of reality. As indeed, theology is not the study of God, since God cannot be measured, but rather the study of everything as man knows God only through his works. I just thought that was sort of interesting. You don't have to agree with it, but of interesting note also is that Jesus was from the line of Shem, which perhaps gives an additional connection to his heavenly Father through the name of Shem. Through our desire to serve our Heavenly Father and perhaps doing this by the step of consecration, we are called upon and challenged then by the scriptures below that we're all familiar with, as in Psalms 116, verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And in 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Another point which may be significant is found in Revelations 2, verses 17, where it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. And that's a study in itself, which no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth it. Notes from expanded biblical comments on Revelation 2:17. A white stone, the seal of the Holy Spirit in the heart, the sealing of the Holy Spirit by which the Lord identifies the overcomers, signifying a precious token of the Lord's love. The emblem of authority, the color indicating the purity of the reign. In ancient times, a white stone was divided into halves, and the production of the stone would ensure friendly aid. Thus, the divided stone became a mark of identification. A new name written, the name of the bridegroom, the name of Christ, the name of our beloved King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the name assumed by our Lord on taking unto him his great power, a name now revealed to the members of his body. We are to come to our Heavenly Father in prayer in all our needs, acknowledging our dependency on him as with sons who honored their earthly parents. We read in Psalms 79, verse 9, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. We read further in the scriptures in Psalms 116, 4 13 and 17. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. 17, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. And again, we're really familiar with those scriptures. These scriptures reinforce the dependency on our Heavenly Father and His willingness to always listen to our entreaties, and for Him to accept our little all, imperfect though it be, because we accepted that cup of salvation. Another scripture that is precious to us and that is also a confidence builder is from 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. In other words, God wouldn't have called us, if He didn't think we could succeed in our walk. Further, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your Holy Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. How blessed we are to have God's precious promises, the ability He's afforded us to understand His word, to call on His name, and to never profane His name. In Ezekiel 36, verse 23, we read, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, which through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. We don't want to take God's name in vain. There was a little discussion going on, I think in the last break, talking about Goliath and David, and Goliath was profaning God's name, and that's why David was fighting for that. That's a really precious memory, and of course David was a forefather of Jesus. Responsibility and privilege of representing God as an adopted son or child. We read then in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For in Psalms 9:10 we read, those who honor your name will trust in you. For you, God, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So while in the way, we're supplied with the necessary spiritual tools to fight the good fight of faith. We're not to try and do it on our own, but to wholly lean on Jesus' name. We who, with God's awesome power protecting and guiding us on all sides. In 1 Samuel 17:14, we read, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And then from a hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. We are told in Psalms 127, verse 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Isaiah 52:12 in the NIV, we are told, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. So He's before and He's after. He protects us on all sides. So as the scriptures indicate, which I just said, God is our fore and our rear guard. He's able and willing to protect us. In closing, we have sung a few hymns that have shown the glory, honor, love, and respect we are privileged to demonstrate and give to our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. There are many scriptures in our Bibles that largely due to either mistranslation or lack of a spirit begettal, at times are not clear unless a Christian's blessed with that spirit begettal. Though in my studying the many instances of the word name, in His name, thy name, by your name, etc., we saw even more clearly how truly honor is due to God's precious Son as well. But honor is always owed to our Heavenly Father, first and foremost. God provided the payment and sacrifice by allowing his Son to be the ransom for Adam's sin. Since the Logos, Jesus Christ, was the first of every creation, they worked in concert or in collaboration as God's divine plan moved forward. We have come to understand how important and vital it is for us to be serious in our commitment to walk in Jesus' footsteps and to not take his name in vain. We further understand the great and awesome work we have to do and the responsibility it involves. The joy that a job well done can bring to our lives, to do everything in his name, to not let any guile be found in our mouths. We want to be identified as footstep followers of our elder brother, so in representing him, we need to be exemplars of righteousness, doing all things in his name. This, of course, is a very high bar to attain, but faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, 1 Thessalians 5:24. And further in 2 Timothy 1:9, we read, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I took from one of my daily devotionals called Streams in the Desert, and this was from Volume 2. And I thought this was very applicable. This is one of the things that I set aside months ago before the Sacramento class asked me to serve here. This is really cool. Here we are. So from John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. To pray in the name of Jesus is not only to use his name at the end of the prayer, but it is to pray in the mind and spirit of Jesus while we believe in his promises, rely on his grace, and work his works. What is it to pray in Christ's name? There is nothing mystical or mysterious about this expression. If one will go through the Bible and examine all passages in which the expression in my name or in his name or synonymous expressions are used, he will find that it means just about what it does in modern usage. If I go to a bank and hand in a check with my name signed to it, I ask of the bank in my name. If I have money deposited in that bank, the check will be cashed. If not, it will not be. If, however, I go to the bank with somebody else's name signed to the check, I am asking in his name. And it does not matter whether I have money or any other. If the person whose name is signed to the check has money there, the check will be cashed. So it is when I go to God in prayer. If I have nothing deposited there, I have absolutely no credit there. And if I go in my own name, I will get absolutely nothing. But Jesus has unlimited credit in heaven, and he has granted to me the privilege of going to the bank in his name. On my check, with his name on my checks. And when I thus go, my prayers will be honored to any extent. And the quote was from R.A. Torrey. Further, in my name means more than merely by his authority. It means that the petitioner must realize his own actual unworthiness to be received. And therefore, he presents it in the merit of Christ, his ransomer. Not that our Lord Jesus should no longer be recognized in prayer, but rather that as the disciples had freedom toward Christ and confidence in approaching him, the time was coming when they could approach the Father direct in his name. And that was from various reprint articles. And we're going to close with the hymn 329, In Thy Name. And may the Lord bless you and add his blessing. May his name be praised. And just a quick prayer. Some of the Milwaukee brethren, after Jen and I get back tomorrow on Wednesday, we're going to help consolidate, box up, and move stuff for Brother George Kuzman's daughter. She has to clear out his apartment that he's been in 37 years. So we ask an interest in your prayers.